Hi everyone, good afternoon. Thank you very much for coming over and checking out our session. My name is Alexander, this is my colleague Guy. We're both on the engineering team for Excel, and we're going to tell you a little bit about how to work more quickly with data in Excel. So to start off, I'll talk a little bit about the Office subscription and how it's different from the 3-year release cycle that you're familiar with. We'll show you how to use the Get and Transform tools to make it easier to get and prepare data for analysis. And I'll show you a few tricks to working with OLAP connections to end up with much, much faster workbooks. And if we have enough time at the end, we'll show you a feature that we're releasing next month around pivot table defaults. So first off, about the Office subscription, it's something that we started with Office 2013. And what we're doing is we're giving you access to new features and new improvements, usually on a monthly basis as we release the updates. And so what you get with it is you get Word, you get PowerPoint, Excel, all the apps that you're familiar with, as well as some online storage. And you can also, if you want, you can also start upgrading and getting things like Power BI and security. So with that out of the way, I'm going to hand it over to Guy, who will tell you a little bit about the Get and Transform functionality.
Can you hear me? Oh, that's better. Yeah, great. So how many of you are familiar with Get and Transform or Power Query? No one? How many of you are familiar with Power Query or Get and Transform in Excel 2016? OK, just a couple of you. OK, cool. For those of you who are not familiar with Get and Transform or Power Query, I can tell you that Power Query is a really cool and powerful set of tools in Excel, which enables you to connect to different sources, all kinds of sources, like text files, database, and so on, import data from these sources, combine the data together, shape it, and clean it and prepare it for your analysis. I'm going to demo this tool for you shortly. In any case, Power Query is available as an add-in for Excel 2010 and 2013. And what we did in Excel 2016 is we actually took a huge step forward and we natively integrated this tool into Excel. So if in Excel 2010 and 2013 you actually needed to download this add-in and install it and enable it through Excel options and things like that, and it's a rocket science and it's complicated, right? In Excel 2016, you don't need to do it anymore. It's just right there. On the data tab of the ribbon, you're going to see shortly how it works, available under the Get and Transform chunk, OK? So before we dive into the demo, just a short glimpse of features, of capabilities, and things that you can do with Get and Transform in Excel. So as I said, you can import the data from a variety of sources. You can manage and append data together. You can sort it and filter it. You can split and merge columns, summarize and aggregate the data, and much, much more. With that, let's dive into the demo. Before showing the actual demo, here it is. As you can see, I'm on the data tab. This is Excel 2016. I'm on the data tab of the ribbon. And here we go. This is Get and Transform. This is Power Query Tools, right? So I can start with importing my data from Excel file, a CSV file, from a variety of databases that you can see, including SQL, Oracle, and so on, from cloud sources, online services, other sources. The number of connectors is constantly growing, by the way. And in our demo, we're going to use this option, from table. So what we are trying to achieve in our demo? Let's start with this. So let's assume that I have some sales data, sales information right here in front of me. And it's a pivoted structure, right? It comes in a pivoted structure. So I have sales per country, per year, per category, and here it is. And let's say that I would like to calculate the total of sales per country or the total of sales per year. So how can I do it with this structure? It's a bit complicated, right? I need to write a lot of manually write a lot of formulas and things like that, or do a lot of copy and paste operations just to transform data from this structure into this, right? Because this is what I actually want. I want the data to come in this structure, where I have one column for country, one column for year, one for category, and one for sales. And then if the data comes in this form, in a non-pivoted form, then I can easily create a pivot table on top of this data and use all the powers of the pivot tables, right? And avoid all the manual calculations, because with pivot tables, basically, I can just calculate all the sales per country really easy, right, in just a few clicks. So this is what I want. I want this structure for my data, and not this one. And again, how would you do it without Power Query? It's complicated. You will need to do a lot of stuff. And I'm going to show you how to do it with Power Query just in a couple of clicks. So let's start with importing the data. I just clicked on the From Table option, and the data was loaded into what we call a query editor. So this is a query editor environment. This is where I can do all my transformations and all my shaping and so on. And I can do a lot of stuff. Let's take a look at the ribbon. So I can, for example, remove rows that I don't like. I can split column by delimiter. I can group by data. I can define the data type of certain columns and so on. Like a lot of actions are available through the ribbon of the query editor, right? And right here, on the section called Applied Steps, I can see all the transformations, all my transformation steps that I'm doing. And as I'm going to transform the data and apply additional transformations, you will see all my steps, all my transformation steps appear here. And then the next time I refresh my query, all the transformations will be applied again. So let's start with the magic, and it will look a little bit like magic, and feel free to applause whenever you see something cool. So this is my data, right? And at the first stage, I'm going to transform it, just transpose the table like this, turn it around in just one click. You can see that this step has been added to apply steps. And then I'm doing a right click and just filling down the missing countries. I'm choosing fill down. And then I would like to use the first row as headers. So I'm going to home and choosing use first row as headers. Here it is. We're almost done. Let's merge two of these columns. I'm doing a right click and choosing merge columns. Let's choose a delimiter to use in our merge operation. And let's give a name, a meaningful name to the new column. Let's call it country and year, because this is what it is, right? And then I'm just selecting all my columns, doing a right click, and choosing unpivot columns. Did you notice what happened? So I just moved from this kind of structure right into this in just one click. What it actually created for me, it created a pair of attribute and value columns, while attribute stands for category, and value stands for sales. We can then unmerge the first column, split it by delimiter. This is country, and this one is a year, right? And this column is actually a whole number, so I'm going to say, hey, it's a whole number, or better currency, actually. And here we go. So this is where I started, right? This was my data at the beginning, the structure of my data at the beginning. And just with like about 10 clicks, without writing a single formula, without writing a single line in VBA, I just transformed the data into this. Feel free to applause, by the way, if you think it's cool. Yeah, and then I can click close and load my data into the worksheet, and create a pivot table on top of it, obviously. Yeah, and I'm done. Now I can use all the power of pivot tables and just summarize the data and so on. So this is really cool, right? It saves you a lot of manual operation. And I mean, it enables you to do stuff that you simply can't do otherwise without Power Query. So I hope you all liked it. So let's move. move back to the presentation. So we just saw a demo, right, of the Get and Transform capabilities. And let's talk a little bit about the monthly updates for Get and Transform. So we are constantly releasing new stuff for you on a monthly basis. Since RTM, we have actually released like dozens of improvements for Get and Transform. We release new connectors. We release new transformations. We release a lot of usability improvements. An example of a new connector that we released is SAP HANA. So if you go to Excel and choose data, new query, and go to form database, you can see the SAP HANA connector right here. And SAP HANA is a popular database for real-time analytics. And so now you can connect directly with SAP HANA and depurl the data and analyze it locally in your Excel. And obviously, we released, as I said, a lot of transformations and so on. So to follow up on all the monthly releases and all the monthly updates, all the cool monthly updates for Get and Transform that we are constantly releasing for you, I encourage you to go to Excel Blogs. The link is right here, and you can search Excel Blogs and just go there and see all the monthly updates that we are releasing. On the right, you can see an example of an August blog post. In this specific update, we released 8 new features, and we continue to do it on a monthly basis. And with that, I'm going to give the stage back to Alexander. Thanks.
So I'm about to show you some tips and tricks that you can use to make working with OLAP connections much faster. So that means it's tabular or multidimensional models, usually hosted on analysis services, but you could be using a third-party AS server such as, or third-party server such as Oracle. Or you could even be using the data model in Excel via Power Pivot. So to get started, I'm going to show you what it's like when without having all the tips and all the optimizations, using a workbook that is running the RTM version of 2016. So that's the release that we did last year in around this time. So what this workbook actually is connected to AdventureWorks, so it's financial data. It's a data warehouse. And it has a couple of sheets. It has a pivot here that has about half dozen fields on it. Typically, you see it in this flat layout when people want to build other pivots or use formulas that reference it. And then there's a dashboard view. And it has your pivot tables, it has slicers, it has charts, your typical dashboard that that gets created. And there's one connection that's being shared across this entire workbook, and I'll explain why that's important in a moment. So let's say we're in this view, and the user wants to just refresh the data that's sitting in front of them. And the reason I'm saying refresh is simply it's usually the longest operation. So what these improvements will actually benefit things like slicing and filtering and expanding and collapsing everything, but just get a sense of what it's like during the longest and operations, I'll use refresh. And so there's a few factors that are impacting the performance that when you work with remote connections. It's the number of queries that we're sending, so that'll impact things like round trips. The complexity of these queries, so things that will increase the load on the AS server, and then the amount of data that then needs to be returned back over the wire to Excel. And so there are issues in this workbook that are actually impacting all three. So the refresh is still going. We've been waiting about 50 seconds now. And so first off, the workbook is refreshing all of the sheets at once. All the objects in a workbook are sharing a single connection. So what ends up happening is that when you want to get the latest data for what's in front of you and maybe on one piece of it, if you kick off a refresh, we're actually querying the server to get fresh data for everything. So that's going to include stuff that you're not looking at, that you're not interested in, that could be on another sheet. And so you'll be waiting essentially for the longest operation, the slowest sheet to get data. Also, we're actually asking for data that we don't need. So if you'll see here that subtotals are actually disabled. And in this case, with the current queries that Excel is sending, we're still asking for the subtotals. And so that's eventually what ends up happening is that the server will finish processing the query, send us all the subtotals over the wire, and then we just simply throw it out. And then the last one is actually, it's more of an aesthetic thing. It's a default setting. It's something that's enabled by default in Excel, which is slicer cross-filtering. So what that is in this case, you can see that components is grayed out. That simply means that there's no data available to discourage users clicking on that. In some cases, it's useful to have cross-filtering enabled. So for example, if you're trying to, if you click on a country and you want to see all the states and provinces just for that country, rather than sorting through a list with hundreds of states and provinces, you just want the ones that are relevant to that country. And so having cross-filtering there is useful. But for having it for things like the category, maybe not be so useful. And so what ends up happening is in order to be able to do cross-filtering, we have to send two queries per slicer. So you're just sending, it's just more stuff that you're going to have to wait for. So that's finished refreshing. And there's also, actually, there's one more thing that's going on in the background here, and that's related to the schema. So every time you refresh, what Excel is doing is it's saying, OK, it's asking the server for all of the available measures and all of the available fields that can be used. And if the schema hasn't changed on the server, there's no reason for us to be asking that. So once you take all of these improvements and you apply them, you'll get something that looks, you'll get a workbook that works like this. You kick off the refresh. And now you're just waiting about 7 or 8 seconds for it to finish refreshing. OK. So I'll walk you through a little bit about what you can do to get the best performance. Right off the bat, just if you upgrade to, if you're using Office 365 and you have the July release, you'll be getting some benefits without actually the user having to do anything. For some of the other tips and tricks, it requires a little bit of interaction, such as when you want to, if you were to create multiple connections within the workbook, that requires a little bit of work. And if you go, or if you were to go for each pivot table and disable subtotals and grand totals, and then disable slicer cross filtering. So what that means is when you want to add another connection, you'll go up to, so for example, here we have one connection, and we're using it for both the customers and the sales details worksheet. If you were to simply go up to add and then add the other connection. And the reason that, so when you created the first connection, it actually creates a connection file that sits in the computer. So that makes it easy to add that connection again in the future. So you can add a new connection. And basically for each sheet, it would be a good idea to simply have your pivots on those sheets use that use their own connection. So you can say, call this one, switch the pivot table to use this other connection that now has nothing on it, and then have that be the customer and rename it to be the customer's connection. And then you can do it for as many sheets as you have in the workbook. The next one is to have disable subtotals and grand totals. So that's going up to the pivot table or to the design ribbon and choosing off for rows and columns for grand totals, and then do not show subtotals. And that'll give you a huge improvement. And that actually scales. The more fields you have in this pivot table, the more the improvement. So something, so if you have, for example, like a dozen fields, you could see maybe 50 or 100 times performance improvement on multi-dimensional connections simply from doing that those settings. And then the last one is the cross-filtering. So like I said, for country and state and province, maybe you want to have cross-filtering enabled, but for category, you don't necessarily need it. And what you do there is for slicer settings, you'll uncheck these two settings called visually indicate items with no data. And that'll reduce the number of queries that we're sending. So the last thing I want to show you is also for pivot tables. This is actually a feature that we're releasing. It'll be available to anyone who's an Office Insider next month. And what this isn't something that people asked for on a user voice website that Guy will tell you about. And it became really, we also let people vote. And so this was the second most requested thing that people wanted. And what it is it lets them have their own defaults for working with pivot tables. It means that what typically ends up happening is that people have their own favorite layout that they'd like to work with, whether it's making changes in the report layout or in pivot table options. And so this lets them have a personalized way to do that, a way to make them personalized. And so when we release it, it's going to look like, so what ends up happening is that Excel out of the box will ship, every time you insert a pivot table, it'll give you this layout. It's in compact layout, its subtotals are on, the grand totals are on. And you may not necessarily want that. Typically, your workflow, depending on the kinds of reports you're building, will have something like this on the right, which is it'll be flat, it'll be in tabular layout. You may not have grand totals or subtotals showing. So starting in next month, you'll be able to go into the file options. You'll scroll down to the data area and click on a button here called Edit Default Layout. What that'll do is pop up a dialog that contains all the settings that you're familiar with from the design, from the pivot table design ribbon around subtotals, grand totals, or import layout. And now they're available all as settings that you can toggle there. You can also have access to your pivot table options that you're familiar with, so you go and make changes manually as well. Or if you don't want to do any of that, you can simply click in the ref edit and find a pivot table that you've already customized in the workbook. Click on it, choose import, and all those settings get brought in. So now what will happen is every single time you insert a pivot table, that pivot table is going to have the layout that you're used to working with. So that means it's quicker to go from a blank pivot and to generating the analyses for the one-off question or the reports that you're trying to build. It's also useful if you want to do things like take advantage of the performance improvements that we've made. You can have the default actually have subtotals and grand totals off, and then you can just have a much quicker workflow. So with that, I'm going to hand it back over to Guy, who's going to talk a little bit about the different ways that you can engage with a team.
Okay, so how many of you are familiar with Excel Voice Portal? None of you. Okay. Cool. So now you know what it is. So we recently launched the Excel User Voice Portal. This is actually a portal where you can submit the ideas, new ideas for Excel that are really important for you, and help us to make the product better. We actually actively monitor this portal, the ideas submitted to this portal. You can also browse through other ideas already submitted by others and vote for other ideas if you think that they are important. And as I said, we're actively monitoring this portal, all the suggested ideas, and we try to respond to all the submitted ideas. And as Alex mentioned, the idea of custom pivot tables was actually number two in this list, and if enough people vote for it, it helps us to prioritize our work and release features that you, Excel customers, actually need. So this is one of the most important collaboration channels with Excel community that we recently launched. The other channel, also a cool one to communicate with Excel users out there, is the tech community, Microsoft tech community portal for Excel users that we recently launched. So what you can do here is you can actively participate in the conversations happening on this portal. You can publish questions of your own and have other Excel users helping you to resolve the problems and so on. There are also a couple of people in Microsoft who are actively monitoring this community and answering questions and so on. So if you have any problem or idea or question or whatever, or if you just want to help others, I suggest you go to techcommunity.microsoft.com, find the Excel portal there, and start collaborating with others, okay? A couple of words on free Excel resources that you can use to learn about all the new stuff that we are constantly releasing. So first of all, we have the Excel Hands-On Lab. This is actually a collection of really simple step-by-step tutorials, usually less than 90 minutes, where you can, these tutorials just guide you step-by-step through popular operations in Excel that you need to accomplish, like import data, analyze data, import the data to the data model, and things like that. With the Excel training course on edx.org, you can take free Excel courses on different topics, on different subjects, including importing data from different sources, mashup, analyzing the data, using data model, and so on, And this is another really valuable resource that you can use for learning, okay, for studying about new features. So this is basically it. We both hope that you really liked our session. We encourage you to log in to Microsoft. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. We encourage you to log in and rate our session if you liked it. If you didn't like it, please come and talk to us, okay? If you want to see more demos, more cool stuff, we both are going to be at the Excel booth downstairs, or you can just approach us right now and speak with us. If you would like to get in touch with us later, both of us have our business cards here. You are more than welcome to grab them and just send us your questions and ideas. Thank you.